This is Rabbi Nissan Elbron, Congregation Brothers of Israel, Long Branch, New Jersey, recording for Thursday, December 3rd, 2015. We'll be finishing the sixth perek, the sixth chapter of Mishneh Shabbos, and that is Mishnayos 7 to 10, Zion to Yud. The seventh Mishnah continues with a description or details of the cloak that was allowed for the Median women to wear on Shabbos. Was a cloak thrown over their shoulder, fastened in front. And here the Mishnah tells us that a porefes al ha'even ve'al ha'egos ve'al ha'matbea, the button, as it were, that was fastened to the cloak, that would serve literally as the button, could be from a stone. Right, an even, and egos is a nut, and a matbea is a coin. Those are all items which are generally carried and generally mukta. But once you fasten it to the cloak and it serves a function in the garment, it becomes part of the garment. That becomes the button. It's no longer the stone, it's now the button. Ubilvad, the Mishnah tells us, shelot faref lechatchila b'Shabbos. You can't fasten it to the cloak on Shabbos. Right, certainly that's a prohibition of connecting it, a prohibition of mukta, multiple prohibitions. But once it becomes part of the garment, it is considered part of the garment, and you're wearing it, no longer carrying it. That, of course, is the secret to the key tie clip for areas in which there is no Eruv. Mishnah Chet discusses the amputee. The amputee may carry a leg, may wear a leg. Right? What is the halacha? How do we consider it? Hakitea yotze bekav shelo, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says the amputee, the kitea literally means cut off, is allowed to go out with his wooden leg, the kav, the prosthesis. Says Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi oser. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it is indeed prohibited. Moment of background, we talk about prosthetics and amputees. We think about a prosthesis that is functional, that helps the person walk and becomes attached to the body. Back in the day, they were not so advanced. It was simply a piece of wood over which you put pants or a skirt or whatnot, so that maybe people should know that you're missing part of your leg. But it was not functional. It didn't help you walk. Reb Meir says, nevertheless, it's considered an ornament, something you wear. Reb Yossi says, no, if it's not functional, it's something that you carry. Mishnah then continues, switches a little to the laws of purity and impurity as it relates to a prosthetic device. Be'im yeshlo beit kibul ketutin tameh. If it has literally a receptacle, which means you could have a flat piece of wood, a 2x4 that you simply attach so people should see something there, a flat piece of wood does not become tameh, is not liable to impurity. Once it has a receptacle of sorts, if you hollow out the wood for the stump to go into, if that's the way it's fashioned, then... Right, or to place rags in so that it's not so hard for the stump to lay on, that becomes a vessel and it can become tameh, it can become impure. Again, nothing to do with Shabbos, simply a law, impurity. Smuchot shelo, again, somebody who, again, the first case was basically on crutches with a partial, you know, one leg, let's say an amputee. You could have somebody who has both legs off, both legs amputated, and then they would put something, a pad, smuchot, or a pad under the knee, and they would kind of drag themselves along on it. So the smuchot shelo, says the Mishnah, tamei in midras. Tamei midras is something that you, if you are impure and you sit on something, a cushion, a bed, a couch, etc., that will attain the same status of impurity as the person sitting on it. Those knee pads, for lack of a better term, they will become tameh if the amputee is a zav or a nida and tame, biyotzin bahen b'shabbos. But because they are functional, you need them to get around, they're considered an adornment, and you may go out with them on Shabbos, v'nichnasin bahen ba'azara, and you may go into the temple courtyard with them. Now, you're not allowed to wear shoes in the temple courtyard, but these are not shoes as they're not attached to the end of a foot. This is an amputee, so they're functional. You can go out with them on Shabbos. You may go into the courtyard, and they become tameh. Somebody who cannot get around that way, they actually had a very early version of a wheelchair, kisei usmuchot shelo. So they would have a little chair that you would attach, you would kind of sit on, and then you'd propel yourself with your hands by leaning over and kind of dragging yourself. Usmuchot shelo. In that case, they would put pads on the ends of the knees so that they shouldn't scrape. Tamei in midras. Those can become tamei, ostensibly the chair and the pads. Ve'en yotzin bahen b'shabbos. You cannot go out with them on Shabbos. That, it seems, refers to the pads, not the chair. Ve'en nichnasin bahen ba'azara. And you may not go into the azara with them, as they are considered shoes. An katmin tahorin. Ve'en yotzin bahen. This is some type of mask. There are many different approaches as to what it actually means, but that type of mask is tahor. It is pure, cannot become impure, but is not considered a garment. You may not go out with it on Shabbos. Mishnah Tet. Here we come to something that you've heard me speak about a lot, and that is old, ancient, call them superstitious remedies, and that will be the subject of Mishnah Tet and Mishnah Yud. Mishnah Tet, Mishnah 9. Habanan Yotzin Biksharin. Little boys may go out with their knots. When a father used to leave home, they would take a shoelace and tie it on the boy's arm. Those are the knots here, the ksharim, and that would apparently somehow take away the son's longing for his father. That you're allowed to go out with on Shabbos. Uvnei melachim bezugin, and royal children, literally sons of kings, are allowed to wear muted bells, because that is a regular garment, traditional garment for royalty. V'chol adam ela shedibru chachamim behoveh. Again, we saw this before. Once it is customary to go out like that, it is considered a garment. And therefore, if you had a society where everyone wore those bells, they'd be allowed to go out. Rather, the Chachamim give this example because that is the time in which they lived. Those are the boys who wore bells. But in a different society, rules would be the same. If it is customary and common, you may. And if not, not. Mishnah Yud. Yotzin bevesas hachargol v'shen shu'al uv'masmer min hatzalov mishum rufua. You're allowed to go out on Shabbos with a locust egg, a fox's tooth, the nail literally from a cross, which was used to hang somebody. You're allowed to wear them because they are refua, they are remedies. Divrei Rabbi Meir, so says Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim omrim, and chachamim say, af b'chol aser. Not only is it prohibited on Shabbos, it is prohibited during the weekday as well, mishum darchei ha'emori. Because it imitates, this is the way of the Amorite. It is an idolatrous custom to believe that locust eggs, fox's teeth, right, nails from a hanging cross, that it is simply idolatrous to believe that those can bring medicinal healing. Anyone who knows me or has heard me speak knows that on this score, I'm with the Chachamim against Rabbi Meir. That concludes our four Mishnayot for today. Look forward to everyone joining us tomorrow.